What's up, you guys? Welcome back to another episode of The Constantana Show. I am your host, Constance. Happy 420 to all of my stoners. Before we get into today's episode, y'all going ahead and get right in the comments. Let me know what your plans are for today. How many J's are you hitting? How many edibles are you eating? What are you and your friends doing today? Do people still celebrate 420? I feel like I haven't really made real 420 plans in a long time. And I don't know if it's because I'm getting old or if it's because... Hold on, y'all. Hello?
You know, one of the influencers that I follow, she recently shared a story where she was essayed. And it makes me just think back to a time when I got out of a relationship and I was out on my own. And I found myself in a situation where I felt as though something like that could have happened to me. Now, you guys can tell me if I'm tripping or not, but I don't believe that I am. So I found myself in my car with this guy who I had a few interactions with. And I realized that, you know, this guy has an alcohol problem that, you know, to each his own. If you are not ready to be at that place where you can admit it to yourself, that's fine. But under the influence, was not aware of the type of person and how aggressive they could come across. So I was sitting in the car and he's telling me, oh, well, I'm going to climb over your seat and come over. And I'm like, no, you're not. What are you coming over here for? And he's like, yeah, I'm not. No, you're not. To the point to where my thing is when I'm nervous, I tend to smile or, like, laugh. But that doesn't mean, like, my smile or laugh is a yes, especially when my words are clearly saying hopeful. So we're going back and forth to the point where he gets up and is literally fighting to come across. And it's like we're fighting so much to the point where it's escalating and it's becoming more and more aggressive. In the back of my mind, I'm telling myself, like, is this really going to happen to me? Is this really my life? And then something in my head just clicked and I just snapped and I just reached out and grabbed him by his neck and slammed him against the car window. And I think the shock of it all got him to, like, snap out of it and stop and realize that, hey, you know, I said no and no means no. And that doesn't mean because, you know, I'm smiling or I'm laughing that your behavior is okay. So, I don't know, you guys tell me, am I tripping or is what I thought what I thought?
Girl, no, you ain't tripping. It's exactly what you thought. He was trying to force himself onto you, and thank God your flight or fright instincts kicked in. No means no. It don't matter if you laughing when you saying no. It don't matter if you holding a person's hand while you saying no. It don't even matter if you got your hand on their private parts while you saying no. No means no. That last one was a far stretch, but I mean, no literally means no. Like, take my words for exactly what they mean. And also, the fact that y'all was tussling, like, why is he so pressed to get it that he gotta force himself onto you and tussle with you for your flight or fright instincts to kick in? Pro tip. If you gotta get aggressive to get the pussy, the girl don't want you. And it's okay if the girl don't want you. Move on to the next. Get you a prostitute. Don't get you a prostitute. Get you a hobby. Find the Lord Jesus Christ. Go do something with yourself to keep you occupied. You have zero self-control, and I don't think you need to be involved with anybody anyways. You might even be a little bit slow because do you or do you not understand the definition of the word no?
Hey, Constance. So, I'm a little frustrated with just the dating scene in general. So, like, there was this dude that I was talking to for a short little period of time, and we had met up in real life once, and there was just, like, so many red flags, so I was just like, okay, boom, like, I'm just not going to talk to him. I basically ghosted him, and but I didn't block him because I feel like blocking is just such a heavy thing to do. It's just like, I don't care that much. Like, I only block when I absolutely have to, whatever. And so after months of him literally, like, chasing me down, I answered one of his calls, and we chatted or whatever, and he made it seem like, oh, you know, I made a bad first impression, so, like, give me another chance. And so I'm thinking, like, damn, like, am I that hurt? Am I that, like, unhealed still that I'm just, like, I got, like, this big, super protective bubble over me or something like that? I was like, maybe I misjudged the nigga. No, because we go to meet up. And, or no, we don't even go to meet up. The day of, man called me and was like, hey, my bad, I was napping, but I'm not going to be able to meet up with you because of the traffic and all this other stuff. Whatever. Mind you, I told this nigga, like, I told him, I was like, look, I'm just not in a place in my life right now to, like, be in relationships. Like, I just got too much shit going on. And maybe he thought that was game or whatever, but, like, no, I was dead ass. And basically, long story short, this nigga went to great lengths just to waste my fucking time. So I'm just kind of like, bro, like, I'm at a point where, like, I really am, I'm not on no apps, I'm not on no nothing. But it's just like, what are these niggas really doing? What's in their brain? It's just like, damn, do I just got a sign on my forehead that just be like, waste my time? Like, what the, like, I can go on and on about that, but that shit is so stupid. Like, why do niggas like to waste time? Isn't their time not precious to them? Isn't it? Anyway, girl, thanks for listening. Bye.
Bye. To me, I think people use dating as a way to fill time. So, I mean, that's just what I think. Yeah, that's what I think it is. I think people are less concerned with pouring into themselves. And I'm not even trying to say it in like a cliche way. Like literally, like I said, like some people have zero hobbies. Some people have zero activities that they do outside of work. They go to work, they come home, they look for something to fuck. Like that's the schedule of their life. So they haven't figured out how to utilize their full 24 hours to the best of their ability. Sad to say. So I think that that's just really what it is. That's my true and honest belief. You knew going into it that you didn't have the time, but you tried to give him time anyways. I think next time, just trust your intuition or just know, like, stick, know yourself. Trust what you know. If you know you don't got the time, don't even feed into this person that wants your time because you don't got the time. When you have that, like, when you actually have the time, and if this person is still around and you're ready to give them your time, then it'll work out. But I don't think you should let people bully you into giving them your time, especially if your time is already spoken for. Like, I think it's great that you can recognize that you are too busy. He needed to go get busy, right? And I think the only way he knew how to go get busy was to go find. I'm not even saying that he was trying to fuck. I'm assuming he was trying to fuck because, like, why else would you be so persistent to waste my time? You didn't give me details on what the waste of time was, but I'm guessing it didn't go anywhere. And he probably was just trying to fuck. And so back to my main point, I think people think that sex is a way to fill your time. No, baby, I don't even know. I think people are just a little too casual with the whole like sex and dating thing. Or maybe I'm naive. I always say that I'm like, I try to give people the benefit of the doubt because I understand like dating culture and sex culture is very casual to most people. And I realize that a lot of people don't care to fill their time with anything other than a roster. I was talking to one of my homegirls the other day. She was like, no, have a roster. So when you're bored or when you don't have anything to do, you can bounce around. You can get to know this guy and get to know this guy. And then when you meet your perfect person, you can cut off your roster. And I was like, I mean, that's cool. But like, I think you should just get some hobbies or something if you're bored. And she was like, I mean, you can do that too. But like, that's what I'm talking about, your hobbies. Like I hit up another friend and we hadn't talked in a while. So I was just like, you know, what are your hobbies nowadays? What are you getting into? And she was like, oh, you know, I go hang out with this guy. And I'm like, that's just not a hobby. Like, what are your hobbies? Like, what do you like to do? Do you know what you like to do? Or maybe you truly, like, maybe fucking around with niggas is your true, genuine hobby. Who am I to judge? Get a real hobby. Next caller.
Hey, conscious girl. So, like, at my job, things are a little... they're just a little weird because, like, I was around, like, older people. And when I say older people, I don't mean, like, 10 years older. I mean, like, damn near elders. But not disrespectfully. This is no ageism going on or whatever. But they are older than me. But the position that I have at my job is a job of, I guess, like, leadership in a way. And so, like, I think it's just hard for me to try to get them to, like, take me seriously at my job because they still just like, oh, it's okay, babe. You know, they hit you with the all the euphemisms that remind you that you are younger than them and also state their positional power over you. So it's just like, how do I navigate? How do you navigate how do you navigate working a job where you are in a leadership position, but everybody that's over you is older than you? I've been trying to figure that out for a while now, and it's just, I've made some strides in some departments, and then other ones, it's just like, I don't know, I just kind of, like, take the L and just be like, dang. Because it's just like, sometimes they don't listen. Or it's like, they're not willing to listen because I'm younger, and it's like, oh, you don't know nothing because you ain't been through nothing. And it's like, damn, no, I pay taxes. I be going through stuff. Like, what the freak? So what kind of advice would you give to a scenario like that?
If I could be 100% honest, I think that that is what being a leader is. I think being a leader is caring more about things than other people. And I think also being a leader is picking up slack when people fall short. I got to be honest to say that I don't work in any leadership positions, but I do own this show, right? And so anytime I bring in help or I have a guest or I'm working along somebody, I just go into it knowing that they don't care about it as much as I care about it. And it doesn't matter how much they act like they care. It doesn't matter how great of like how great of a performer they are. At the end of the day, they just don't care as much as I do. So when someone falls short, if someone doesn't show up, if someone doesn't perform the way I want them to perform, I have to understand that it's not on them to do that. It's on me. And so I bring that example up because I think it's up to you to pick up that slack. I think there's another... I think another thing that people struggle with is just like letting go of bad talent. Like, I don't know if you have, I don't know like what your role is within the company that you work. And I don't know if you have the power to fire, but I would just get rid of the talent that's not performing well. I see it happen all the time. And I don't know why, like my corporate job, I work in HR and I see people get fired for performance all the time. Like if someone isn't performing well and you're documenting their lack of, or you're documenting their low performance, use that as evidence to get them out of the company. But if you don't want to fire them, then you just have to deal with the fact that they don't care and that they're not going to respect you. I don't really know how you can get people to respect you. I really don't know. I don't. And I think that I don't know if as a leader, you're supposed to be trying to gain respect. I think people decide if they want to respect you, right? And I don't know how you can convince someone that you are deserving of their respect if they don't just want to give that to you off rip. So to me, I just think in this leadership role, you continue to be a leader, and being a leader is leading by example. So if this task needs to be done today and they don't want to do it, you get it done and you let them know y'all didn't do it and I did it. And you document that and you continue to make a paper trail. Every time you ask somebody to do something, they don't want to do it and you document it. And you keep documenting it and you take it to whomever you got to take it to and fire whomever you got to fire or deal with their lack of work, like deal with their terrible work ethic and you take on the brunt of the work. And I think that's just what leadership is. I think people, when they assume leadership positions, they're so ready to delegate and assign work. I think part of being a leader is sharing the workload. Like you don't just get to delegate because it doesn't fall back. Like, you know what I'm saying? If I'm not a supervisor, then I have zero stakes in this company, then I really don't give a fuck what happens to this company. So I don't know why you would think that I'm gonna go so hard for it the way you would have to go hard for it if you have such high stakes. I think it's also important to consider like your management style, your leadership style. Like when I have like a really cool manager, and I'm not saying cool like they let me walk all over them, but just someone that shows me respect, I respect them, right? I wanna get the work done to please them. Like, what is your relationship like with your subordinates? I'm sure you do respect them, but I think it's more than just a yes ma'am, yes sir. I think it's really like stepping in and leading by example and showing them like, hey, is there any way that I can help you complete this task? I noticed this task wasn't completed. Is there any way I can step in to help? Like small things like that, you know? I don't know. And look, I haven't even been saying this for all of my other calls. Y'all been listening to all the calls. If you have advice for them, comment down below. If you're in a supervisory role, how do you get people to respect you? I think just from my experience, it's not about, I don't need you to respect me. I really don't. I need you to just do what you're asked to do. And if you don't want to do it, then I'll do it. And if I can get it done faster and better than you, then I'll just let you go. You guys, leave advice for all of these people down below, okay? We're going to do a quick commercial break, and then we will come back. I got one more submission, then we'll end today's show. Run the brief, intermission. Did he do it? For those of you that don't know what it is, Sean Combs, also known as P. Diddy or Puff Daddy, has several lawsuits against him, alleging that he was involved in sex trafficking, committed sexual assault, and something else that's just crazy. Now, in my opinion, I'm not spending my brain power thinking about did he do it, did he not do it. The court case will reveal the truth. But I have been seeing people say black people are celebrating the downfall of a black man. And if I could be quite honest with you, I don't even think anybody is celebrating the downfall of shit. We heard that the nigga allegedly did some shit that should never be done by anybody. And so the next step, typical protocol, justice is served. I don't make the rules, but those are the rules. So, it is what it is, and it was what it was, and it really is what it was. And what it was, if the crime was done, the time must be done as well. Back to the show. All right, you guys, we are back. I have one more Dear Constance submission, and this submission reads, Dear Constance, I'm trying hard not to spin the block on my high school sweetheart. I need to know why I shouldn't. Now, you asking me why you shouldn't. I think I need to know why you should. I mean, you just said you're trying hard not to spin the block. So you must already know that it ain't worth spinning. So the only thing you need to be convinced that you shouldn't spin the block is the fact that you're trying hard not to. Because I feel like if this was worth your time, or if you thought it'd be worth your time, you would spin the block, no question. You wouldn't even wrote in my inbox. So I'm going based off the fact that you don't want to do it. So I think you shouldn't do it. Now, you do also have the option of being very impulsive and just doing it and being let down. Which one you want to do? Make sure you're not just spinning a block out of boredom. If you're bored, go get you a hobby. Go find an activity. Go pray. Go fish. Go make some pots. If you want to spin the block because you like the person or you're interested in getting to know the person again, go on ahead and do it. I'm not against spinning the block. Like, it's okay to spin the block because I do believe in right person, wrong time, right? I think it's also safe to say, like, pray about it. I don't know everybody's faith, but y'all know my faith. So, yes, I say pray about it and ask God, like, is this the right person for me? If this is the right person for you, I think God will let you know that. I think there will be signs that will push you closer to acting on spinning the block. And if this isn't the right person, you'll continue to ponder on it and you just won't do it and it's okay. I feel like if you're uncertain, just wait until you're certain. I think that's a really good one. Now, if it's fear-based, then I would question, what are you afraid of? And you sit and you figure that out and you assess it. I'm gonna say this. You seen how all the other submissions had some detail to it? If y'all gave me some detail, I feel like I could give you better advice, but this is a little bit too vague. So I'm gonna go back to the first answer that I gave you. You trying hard not to spin the block, so try a little bit harder and just don't do it. Because you shouldn't even be trying hard not to do it if it's worth doing. You get what I'm saying? All right, you guys, that was good. That was good. I feel like I had to bully my Instagram followers a little bit to give me some submissions, but I love that you guys wrote in. I love that you guys called in. I appreciate everybody that left a submission because one, that shows that you trust me. Two, that shows that you are watching. And three, you want to engage with me, and I want to engage with y'all, so I love that. You guys know, and if you don't know, Dear Constance is my anonymous submission box. If you need advice, call in to the Dear Constance hotline, 240-587-3186. You can also leave a text-based submission by clicking the link down below in the description box or clicking the link in my Instagram bio, okay? These submissions are all anonymous. Nobody knows who leaves the submissions. This is a safe space. This is a judgment-free zone. This is just an opportunity for you and me to engage and connect and really feel like we're together, even though the barrier is my camera and your TV, okay, or your computer, whatever you watch me on, or your phone, whatever. I love you guys. I appreciate you guys. If you haven't already done so, make sure you guys are following me everywhere at Constance Annan Show on Instagram, at Constance Annan Show on TikTok. Follow my personal pages at Black Mocha, BlackMCKM0CHA. If you have not already done so, y'all, join my mailing list. Click the link in the description box below. It will take you to my mailing list, and there you can sign up, and you'll be notified when all of the Constance Annan Show merch drops. I was touching this because this is a free write journal that I created. It has Bible verses in it. It has prompts in it. It's called Cry About It, Then Write About It. For the people that know me, you know I'm a crybaby. I am sensitive, okay? And so I created this book, this journal, excuse me, for people like me, people that need a way to release their emotions after they've cried. It has, like I said, Bible verses. It has prayers. I think this is a great way to connect with God and to release your emotions, okay? Again, I love you guys. I appreciate you guys. I already told y'all to call into the Dear Constance. I already told y'all to join the mailing list. I told y'all to follow me. I think I said everything except for happy, happy, happy 420. Roll a J for me. Post it on your Instagram story and tag me. Yeah, y'all know we going strong with the 30 days. Again, this is not a drop, a new episode every day, 30-day challenge. This is a drop, one piece of content every day for the next 30 days to get me back into the habit of posting consistently. And I think I've been doing good. We kicked the first week in the ass. We on to the second week. Y'all stay tuned. I don't know what's coming up, but we will be getting into some things, exploring my interests, exploring my thoughts, trying new things. Thank you guys so much for allowing me to use this platform to just be me and be free. And that's it, y'all. About to go hit up my friends and enjoy me a blunt or two. I'll see you guys next time. Peace.